I drive an old PT Cruiser that's got 200,000 miles on it. And when the temperature was about 100 degrees, the car decided to overheat. So went into the garage and they fixed it. Well, they replaced the two cooling fans. There's regular cooling fan and one for the air conditioning. They replaced the relay. They replaced the thermostat. I got the car back, drove it for several days, and it overheated again. I had to send it back to the shop. I got my car back, picked it up at night. The next morning, overheated again. It's now in the shop. I drove down here, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to drive down to Canton, and I'm going to be just dripping sweat by the time I get here. Well, fortunately, I went on 95, rolled all the windows down, and just drove as fast as I could to get here. But you know, it took, and it's still taking, several attempts to get that thing completely repaired. Life is like that sometimes. For me, life is like that a lot. Nothing ever seems to get fixed on the first try. You wish it would, but it just doesn't. God's work doesn't usually happen in one shot either. It just doesn't get fixed all at once. I want to share with you this morning just how in God's plan it can take a couple of tries to get the change done. If you have your Bible handy, turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verse 22 is where we want to begin. It says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. And so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. And then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. This is the only recorded healing by Jesus where it was initially incomplete. The man needed a second touch to experience full sight. I think we can learn a lesson from this account about following Jesus, about following Jesus Christ more effectively. And I want to share with you just a couple of points from this passage of Scripture. The first thing I'd like to share with you from this passage of Scripture is that friends can bring us to Jesus for change. Look again at verse 22, the first part of it says, then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. The blind man's friends brought him to Jesus. There's another story where four friends brought their paralyzed friend on a stretcher, and they climbed up on a roof because they couldn't get in through the door, and they actually ripped apart the roof of this house, and then they lowered the man down right in front of Jesus, just set him in front of Jesus. And it was those friends that brought him there, and those friends impressed Jesus, and he made that man walk. You know, when I was a young teenager, I was the straight-A student. And then when I got to the seventh grade, I changed schools across town and got a whole bunch of new friends, and they had great ideas like, why bother going to school? There's other things we can do during those times of day. And in my seventh grade, I went to school 40 days out of the entire year. I skipped school the rest of the time. So they decided that I needed a second shot at the seventh grade. And so I got to do it again. And I think I got in about 60 days that year. And they were going to give me a third shot at the seventh grade. And they decided, no, he just looks too much older than the rest of the kids, I guess. And so they pushed me into the eighth grade. And I did the same thing again. During the summer, after that year in the eighth grade, which should have been the third year in the seventh grade, I was selected to be part of this special program where they took a bunch of kids from the city where I lived up in Massachusetts, and they took us out to this private school, a school called Groton School up in Massachusetts. We stayed there for 2 months in a summer program. It was academics and athletics and all kinds of activities. My counselor, the man who was assigned to me during that summer, he came up to me toward the end of the summer and he said, how would you like to go to this school, this private boarding school? You had to come and live here and it's a lot of hard work. And I really thought it was cool being there, so I just thought, wow, that'd be cool. Okay, yeah, I'd like to go there. Because of this person and my willingness to do it, all of the normal process was cut through. Normally, there's about 60 openings in that school a year and about 600 students apply for it. It's usually the wealthy old money of New England's kids that go to this school. I didn't have to take the entrance exam. I had an interview with the admissions director for about 20 minutes, and then I got a phone call that I was accepted to go to the school. Well, let me tell you something. That changed my life. Because that counselor who had become my friend, because he was concerned about me, and he got involved in my life, it literally changed my life. I got out of that city environment that I was in with all those friends that I had, and I went to that school. I had to repeat the eighth grade. I graduated from high school when I was 20 years old. Friends can make a difference in your life. Friends can bring you to the place where a difference is made. That counselor, he didn't change my life. He helped bring me to the place where my life was changed. Friends can also have a negative influence on your life. As I said, all those new friends that I got in the seventh grade and that phony eighth grade. The other eighth grade at the private school, now that was something, because I had to do that grade without the benefit of having done the few years before that. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, bad company corrupts good habits. Some examples of a negative influence in the Bible. You know, Israel listened to the bad report of, what, 10 spies instead of listening to Joshua and Caleb. And boy, that affected their lives for the next 40 years, didn't it? Because they all died in the wilderness. Pilate listened to an angry mob and condemned Jesus to death instead of the convicted murderer, Barabbas. Demas and Alexander, Paul says, abandon him because they love the world. And I'm sure that each of you have probably some personal stories of people who made bad decisions due in part to the negative influence of some friends. Fortunately, that blind man from Bethsaida had friends who helped him get closer to Jesus. God was at work in my life. He took me from that city environment that was bad for me to that school. And then I went to work for a computer company, and then they transferred me to Miami to become a regional manager. God brought me down there to get my attention. And he brought me into the friendship of this man, Jimmy Martin. Jimmy was like in my life all the time. Before I became a Christian, I lived down there for 6 months before I became a Christian. He was inviting me to everything. Every time he was doing something, he had some get-together at his house, he'd invite me over. And I'd go over there and I'd watch all these crazy people singing songs like we were today. We'd sit there and we'd have something to eat, and then Jimmy's wife, Susie, would take out her guitar and she'd start playing and singing. And they're all singing and I'm sitting there feeling like an idiot. Why am I there in the middle of these people? God was slowly working on me, and Jimmy was a very important part of it. He was helping to bring me closer and closer to Jesus. And then at Jesus 81, which is like the creation music festivals that they have here in Pennsylvania, Jesus 81 was one of the older ones way back when they first started in Orlando, Florida. I became a Christian at Jesus 81. And Jimmy was a big part of even getting me to that festival. Because I didn't want to go. I mean, it was bad enough that I had to go to different events at people's homes and different things. To go and spend from Wednesday to Saturday night to Sunday with a bunch of crazy Christians. And what am I going to do there? Oh, you'll listen to some great preachers. You'll listen to some great music like what I've been listening to. Why do I want to do that? And he convinced me to go. We arrived there on Wednesday. We camped. That was bad because I'm not a camper. I can do it like once a year for a couple of days. That's all I need. I'm good. Camping's okay. And for those that like it, I have a son-in-law that, I mean, he would rather camp than live in a house. To do that from Wednesday to Sunday for the sake of listening to a bunch of preachers and sing some songs, give me a break. But I went, and on the last night, Saturday night, the last speaker before they closed down the festival, after being there from Wednesday all day, 24 hours a day until Saturday, the last speaker gave the invitation at about 11:30 at night on Saturday night. And I prayed to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And my life was changed. So friends can bring us to Jesus for change. Friends can do that. Do you have friends who push you closer to Jesus? Do you have friends that are urging you in your relationship to get closer and closer to Jesus? How about you? Are you a friend who inspires others to follow Jesus more closely? Do you touch other people's lives and try to push them toward Jesus? The second thing I want you to see from this passage is that while friends can bring you to Jesus for change, change requires the personal touch of Jesus. In the first part of that, verse 23 of that passage, it says, "So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him," we'll just stop right there. That blind man had to get away. He had to get alone with Jesus. He had to get alone with Jesus, and he needed his personal touch in order to experience true change in his life. Because everything had been going on in his life up to that point, he was still blind. The greatest need that he had, aside from knowing Jesus Christ as his Savior, his eyesight. And nothing up to that point had made any difference. He had to get with Jesus. He had to get alone with Jesus in order for the change to occur. No matter how much his friends were at work in his life, he had to get alone with Jesus. And then, interesting, Jesus took him aside, took him actually out of the town. So it was just him and that blind man. I have a son who is just naturally, mechanically talented. He can look at anything, take it apart, fix it, put it back together. It just naturally, he's that way. I look at things and I go, oh my goodness. He looks at me and goes, no, just step out of the way. I'll get this. He'll be working and he'll do all the stuff and the next thing you know, it's working. And we have this kitchen sink faucet that just refused to stop leaking. I changed washers on it. I tightened up and made sure that all the fittings were all right. But that thing would just continue to leak. It might just be a little leak drip that drips about every 30 seconds. Or we grow into something faster than that. I could not get that thing. I worked on that thing several times, and I couldn't get that thing to work. My son comes up and he says, Dad, do you want me to take a look at that? Oh, go ahead, but I don't know. I've tried, but you go ahead. He gets in there, and he says, I think I got it. And it's not leaking. And I said, you leave that bucket under there for a couple of days. We're going to see if this thing leaks or not. And several days later, no problem, bucket's dry. I opened that thing up. I worked on the same thing as he did, but I didn't fix it. He worked on it once, and he fixed it. Well, you know, that's how it is in life, dealing with change and things in our lives. We can try and fix things in our lives. We can work on these things in our lives again and again and again, and the problems in life just keep dripping. Jesus can touch our lives. Jesus can get involved in our lives, and it can be fixed. That blind man had to get alone with Jesus. And I can stand here and I can tell you the truth. Your Sunday school teacher can tell you the truth, teach you about it. Your pastor can get up here and preach about it and proclaim it. But you know what? It doesn't have any impact in your life until you get alone with Jesus. Until you get alone with God and you take that which you're learning and you apply it in the power of the Holy Spirit and His grace. Then change can happen in your life. You got to get alone with Jesus. People can bring it to you. Friends can teach you. Friends can encourage you. But it's only Jesus that's going to bring about the change. Change requires the personal touch of Jesus. You know, I noticed something else in that passage. It says, he took the blind man out of by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus spit on his eyes to bring healing to his life. You know what I like about it? It just affirms and confirms again and again that God won't let us put Him in a box. We think we know how things should be. We think we know how they should happen. But God won't let us put Him in a box. Jesus performed this miracle different than all the others. And this goes against the way that most of us are bent. It has to make sense to us. It's got to be sensible to us. It's got to seem right to us. We worship the Creator, but I'll tell you what, one of the least creative places on the planet is in the church. I have an electronic Bible. And there was one pastor who, the deacon board said, there will be no Bible in the pulpit except for one in print. No computers, no tablets, none of that stuff. Only a Bible. Well, the day has changed. We don't use roll-out parchments, do we? At some point, there was an acceptance for printed Bible. The most difficult place for things to change is in the church. And yet, we worship the Creator. Jesus healed by spitting on the man. And he placed mud on the eyes of another one. He spit in the ground. He mixed it all in mud. And then he wiped it on the guy's eyes. And the guy got his sight back. For others, he touched them. Others, he just spoke. Demons came out. And dead were raised. Don't limit God's methods. Don't be afraid of something that's different than what you're used to. You may one day experience God demonstrating His power in some new way in your life. He may be spitting on your eyes. But let me give you another very important point to consider. Friends can bring us to Jesus for change. Change requires a personal touch from Jesus. But I got to tell you one other thing. Sometimes Jesus' change involves another hit. The first hit doesn't do it. Look at the second part of verse 23 again, down to verse 25. It says, He asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and he said, I see men like trees walking. And then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. My father was a carpenter. He used to take me to work with him a lot. And he was a type of carpenter where you didn't have anything prefabricated. Framing, they got a pile of lumber arrived and they built everything. And I used to watch him swing a hammer. He drove a nail in, a piece of wood, in about 3 hits, sometimes 4 hits. I can never remember my father missing the nail. Each hit drove that nail closer and closer to its destination. Let me tell you, when he put a hammer in my hand, sometimes I hit the wall, sometimes I hit my thumb, and occasionally I hit the nail. And it often took me about a dozen hits to get that nail driven into the wood. Jesus is the master. He's the master. He never misses a step in His plan. His plan of the ages, His plan for your life. He never misses a step. Every hit moves us closer to His goal for our lives. But many times, more than one hit is needed. There's more than one hit in the plan. It's not because He can't do it with one hit. Jesus can fix any problem in your life. He can deal with any issue in your life with just one hit. Don't you doubt that. That's all it takes. Jesus can say it, it's done. He can touch this healing. He can speak it, and it comes about. But very often, God's plan includes multiple hits. He takes us through a process rather than a single event to bring about change in our lives. You see Him asking the man, well, what do you see? Jesus never asked questions to get information. He never asked questions to find out what's going on. He already knows. He knows all things, even the thoughts of a person. Jesus already knew that that man could see. He already knew what that man could see. He was helping him to understand what was happening to him. He wanted him to be aware of what was going on, the process that was occurring in the change that was happening in his life. He wasn't trying to get information. God often uses questions to teach us. Cain, where is your brother? Moses, what is that in your hand? Elijah, what are you doing hiding up here on the mountain? Who did the people say that I am? Who is your neighbor? What should we feed all these people? Bartimaeus, what do you want the Son of Man to do for you? Jesus already knew what He was going to do. Jesus already knew what the man wanted. He wanted to receive his sight. Jesus knew what that man could see, but He wanted him to seek another touch. Most people are content with a little blessing. Most are content with one touch of salvation to get them to heaven, but then to live without the fullness that Jesus promises. Most people would answer that question, what do you see? Well, things are a little blurry, but I'll be all right. Things are a little blurry right now, but I'm okay. Hey, I couldn't see before, you know. This is good. I'm okay. We have other examples in the Bible where repeated efforts were often used by God to accomplish a particular result. Joshua marched around Jericho 13 times before the walls came down. Why? Because that was God's plan. Elijah prayed 7 times before the rain came down. Naaman dunked in that Jordan River 7 times before he was cleansed of leprosy. Jesus prayed 3 times in the garden about what was about to happen. Like driving a nail into a piece of wood, there are some challenges in this life that require more than one strike of the hammer. Some challenges that need more than one touch of Jesus. Jesus asked the question, what do you see? He's still asking that same question today. Are things a little blurry in your life? Are there challenges? When you look out, you can see God's hand at work, but boy, it's still a little blurry. You see there's more that needs to be done. You can see God's hand at work, but there's still more that needs to be done. Is there something in your life that needs change and needs a fresh touch from Jesus? I don't know what's going on in your life, but you do, and God does. And He wants to bring about change, completely overhauling your life or just making some adjustments that need to be made. Sometimes it needs a big work, sometimes just a little work. Sometimes you've got to go back to the mechanic 3-4 times before you can get it to work right. What do you see, and what are you going to do about it? Is God bringing some change about in your life? Is He trying to bring some change in your life? Are you resisting it? Because it may mean that you got to do some things a little differently. You may have to give something up. You may have to go somewhere. You may have to do something. Is there something going on in your life that just won't seem to go away? And you just need Jesus to take care of it.